Welcome to Pool Party Radio. This is the number one podcast for classical gas in all of Springfield. I am your host, Parker, joined as always by co-host Razor Man Cumulus.
Hey, what's up, Parker?
Oh, nothing much. Just having the greatest week of all time.
Jesus. Yeah, mine's been a, you know, okay, I guess. I can't really compete with your week. That was pretty exciting. And we'll get to that in a minute. But before we do, I want to introduce our special guest for this episode, my co-host from another podcast, Zatuichi the Blind Podsman, Patrick.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Hey, what's up, Patrick?
Not much. Just got out of work. So I rushed home to get on the line with you guys.
Nice.
Appreciate that.
Did you beat that rush?
I'm ready to podcast.
I like the way that Frisbee introduced you as his co-host from another podcast, because that's a lot like the old slang would be that you would introduce somebody as your brother from another mother. But I like
that's exactly where I was going with it. Yeah.
Or if you want to be in modern terms, if you want to be PC, you're Sib from another crib. So that way we don't, you know, in case somebody doesn't want to be identified by gender.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we did. Yeah, Frisbee did kind of assume your gender, which is kind of ignorant of him. I wish he would have checked that privilege before the show. But
what yes. Can I say? I'm a bold individual in these Trump times.
Right? Luckily, actually, because Donald Trump is president, we can just get away with that now.
That's true. So, we can go around.
It's a gross life.
We can assume people's genders, and then we can call them the W word right afterwards. It's a great time to be alive.
Katie Ross got the last laugh on us.
That is true.
I guess so, yeah. Yeah, literal misdirection also. Not even just like in a rhetorical way. Just misdirecting people where actual objects are going. Like, this ship is headed to Korea. No, it's not. It's going the other direction. Mm-hmm. Literal misdirection. This is the worst life. But you're living the best life, Parker. You've got a really great week behind you and ahead of you. Probably great weeks ahead.
Yeah.
Tell us what happened.
Well, as long as the world doesn't blow up by Wednesday.
That's not a guarantee, but let's hope it doesn't.
Yeah. Hopefully it happens Thursday. Wednesday, I'm going to be conducting an interview, Mr. Frisbee. Wednesday at 2 p.m. If anybody yes. wants to just like think about it while it's happening out there. Wednesday at 2 p.m. Pacific. I'm going to be talking on the phone to Corey Feldman.
Hell yeah.
Can you even
That's
believe
That's pretty tight.
I know. It's all I've ever wanted. The year of Feldman, it doesn't end. We're now in the second year of the year of Feldman, and it's still just like the first year of Feldman. It's the whole rest of time is going to be the year of Feldman. It's going to be great. It's going to be great. It's really terrific.
You're like... Yeah. You're like Barack Obama and all those pictures of him vacationing while we all live in, like, this fucking nightmare hell dungeon.
That's true. It's just me and Corey Feldman and Obama kayaking together, golfing, like, collecting coconuts on the beaches of Hawaii, things like this.
Wake sailing. You're a TV show host. You get to interview, like, your idol. Nuclear war is probably about to happen. Everything's just coming up Bowman.
I know. All three of those things are things I've wanted for a long time. I get to talk to Corey Feldman, have my own TV show, and then I get to die. It's going to be great.
Yeah, go out on top in a big, big way.
Yeah. So I'm very excited. Mm-hmm. I'll let you guys know how it goes. Maybe I'll, you know, maybe that Corey Feldman interview will be on the internet somewhere. We'll let you know how to find it. It's out there. It'll at least be in a newspaper. But what about you guys? What have you guys been up to this week?
Not much on my end. I've just been doing schoolwork. I've been doing pretty good, which I'm happy about. So I just finished a pretty big exam, and I'm ready to take a break and just play video games. And that's about it.
What are you playing recently?
I've been playing Persona 5, which is... a video game where you assume the identity of a Japanese teenager who can summon demons, and you also date girls. So
do you get a waifu in this game?
you can date multiple waifus, so you can just knock the pussy out the park like your name is Babe Ruth. It's pretty awesome.
I heard this was a thing with this one. I remember like the Persona 2, whichever one they put like a gun to their head to
That's three. Get battle stuff.
That's three.
You could also fuck girls in that one too.
All right. Is that the case in this as well?
Yeah.
It's not
totally.
That's not like a game changer for me. Like I'm gonna be like, oh yeah, now I gotta get this game. You can bang puss and whatnot.
It's like The Witcher, except Japanese, so
is there a reason for it? Or is it just like, hey, this is cool, right?
What, did you not have a girlfriend in high school or something? Like, it's just, you just date chicks.
Yeah, but why the option for sex?
Like, there's no real option for sex. Scheduling?
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, it's just implied sex. And by implied sex, it's like shy teenager sex, which is probably just a hand job. But you just get a lot of hand jobs, as far as I believe.
That's the kind I still have.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, I'm upset that apparently I need to buy a PlayStation 4 to play this game.
Yes, you do. It is only available on Sony systems because it's Japanese and the Japanese hate the Xbox.
The graphics, as always with this game series, look amazing. But I remember watching a friend in college play it as a roommate. And while like those sequences were animated in just this hyper cool way, like even though I'm not super into anime or anything like that, it looks so fucking sharp and cool. Like you're running around through a lot of dungeons, at least in the third one. Is that the case in this one? Like you just go running through dungeons a lot?
Yes. There's actually the main dungeons, and then there's this other thing which is based on the dungeons from the third one that you go through as well as like kind of like side missions and shit.
They should call this game Dungeons and Waifus.
They should. Mm-hmm. You could just call the Persona series Dungeons and Waifus.
Cool. I'm going to start saying that next time I go to GameStop. I'm going to ask if they have Dungeons and Waifus 5. See if they know what I'm talking about.
But what about you, Parker? Do you date girls in video games?
I do not. I downloaded, like, forever ago that Episodes video game where, like, you can get into wacky dating hijinks, but I've never actually played it. I guess I should.
Did you, are you familiar with this concept of, or the genre of games called dating simulators?
Vaguely. I've never actually played one, but I've seen them on YouTube, though.
Have you seen the parody of it where it runs exactly like those games? Like, there's been parodies before, but this one's like, you date pigeons? They're all pigeons?
That sounds good.
Yeah, Hot to Full Boyfriend. I think 4chan made that.
Was that them? Okay.
Yeah, my niece also plays this game called Yandere Simulator, where like your whole objective is just to be like a creepy girl who like stalks a dude and tries not to kill him. But like, I guess like if you encounter him at all, the computer just automatically makes you murder him.
Just like in real life.
Yeah, just like in real life.
Jesus. When I was in Japan, we went to like these arcades a handful of times, and the arcades were way different than what I was used to. Like I went to like Malibu Grand Prix near Columbus when I was a kid, or like the one at Dayton Mall. There's an arcade there, and they're all like these stand-up cabinets with a bunch of goofy art on the sides of it. You know, you have to be like at least 3 feet tall to be able to make any use of these things, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
In Japan, they're all like waist high. So the intent is that you just sit down at them, and all the consoles are the same. Like you basically just have to look for a small banner that details what the game is to sit down and play the game of your choice.
I'm sorry.
Oh, well, I was just going to say the saddest thing I ever saw was in this like mostly vacant arcade. You could like smoke there too. And people were just like smoking with ashtrays nearby or drinking. It almost looked like a casino. Hold your horses, because there was a dude playing what looked like a dating sim. Like I'd only seen these like parodies of it, like the Seinfeld one or something, and I got the gist of it, what it was. But then I saw like a dude playing it there by himself, just like smoking and pretending to date through a video game, and I was like, That was the saddest shit.
Oh, can I plug something real quick?
Of course.
You have a dating simulator coming out.
Yeah, no, that Seinfeld one you just mentioned. My best friend in the whole world, Jared Pettit, who's on Podcast Town, actually made that game.
Hmm.
Yeah, it's called The Senpai, if anyone's interested.
The Senpai?
I'm very interested.
But I was going to say, I was just at a convention, and one of the rooms they had set up was a big arcade, and they had a shitload of those like cool like Japanese machines that you just sit down at for hours and play. It was all fighting games, though.
Yeah, I couldn't get into those. I'm not good at video games generally anymore. So I tried a few of them just to have the experience, and yeah, I could have been better. Could have been way better. There was one that was really popular. I think it was like something Gear.
Guilty Gear?
That sounds right. I feel like there was alliteration involved in the name. And the characters were all like out there. They looked like these comic book style characters. It was 2D graphics. Yeah, I tried playing that once and I was like, I'm going to lose a lot of money if I get into this. And thankfully, I didn't get into it. But yeah.
You dodged a bullet.
I dodged a bullet.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
The last thing you want in life is just to put all your money in stupid machines where goofy graphics pop up showing you Screech every once in a while. And you lose, before you know it, you lost $80 trying to look at Screech on some stupid slot machine.
Was there ever a Saved by the Bell video game? Like, I feel like there was. Like, it was like a Sega CD game where it was just, like, clips from the show.
I don't know. Not that I know of. But I never had Sega CD.
I don't think anyone did, but...
Yeah.
Oh, I did. I remember having one. And it was kind of a piece of shit. Like, it barely played anything. And what really soured us to the entire deal is that the place that we'd rent these games from... they borrowed out this, what was it? It was like Marvel versus Capcom or something. It was a fighting game. I think Cyclops was in it, so it had to be Marvel versus Capcom. And it wouldn't play. So we took it back immediately to this local rental place. And they're like, oh, you must have scratched it up and ruined it. So we basically told them to go fuck themselves and did not rent there anymore.
Yeah,
and it just soured us to the idea, like, hey, if these games are so fragile, then what's the point?
Got to go back to cartridges.
Mm. Yeah, man.
Some shit like that happened to me one time. I was furious. It was, like, the most furious I had ever been. I was, like, a little kid, and I tried to rent Wizards and Warriors Part 2, but they gave me Ikari Warriors, which is, like, a totally different game, and I was, like, so mad. And, like, I told my mom to get a refund, and then I don't think she did. So now I'm mad at my mom. It was my mom's fault. It was that stupid guy at Videotown's fault. I'm just enraged. I'm enraged about the whole subject. Speaking of being enraged, though, tell me, Patrick, some of the laws that you would enact, probably in a rage, as that's how all laws are enacted, if you were suddenly president. This is a thing, a segment we like to do on the show from time to time with guests to get to know them and to get to know how much of a dictator they would be.
Okay, so if I can enact these laws without having to, like, pass them, like, I could just sign a piece of paper and they're passed.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so the first one would be socialism becomes real. So you'd have, like, universal health care and nationalized higher education and universal income, like, all that cool shit. So that's out of the way, but that's not my legacy. So the next two are going to be my legacy.
Okay. That's already a huge sweeping change, but so I'm interested to hear what your legacies are.
Okay, so the next one is, are you guys super familiar with, like, how, like, kind of like the hierarchy of the federal government? Politics is, like, a thing that I just, like, I constantly read about, and it's just, like, it's something I'm very vocal about, so, like, a lot of this shit, like, you know, I think about all the time. This is actually really, like, not a joke important thing I would do. Mm-hmm. I would enact as my Secretary of State, which is probably the second highest, most important position in the executive branch, Wayne would be my Secretary of State. Mm-hmm. Wayne or Welf, I guess whichever one gets it first.
Mm-hmm. Whichever one's not drunk at the time you announce.
Yeah.
Who it will be.
Whoever picks up the phone first. And so that would be the face that everybody all around the world, all these world leaders will have to talk to when they want to talk to America. And also, the Secretary of State would no longer be an appointed position. It would actually be a permanent position like the Supreme Court. So the next guy is going to be stuck with him, too.
Mm-hmm.
And so on and so forth until Wayne dies. So that's my other law. My third law is I call this the Sklar Act of 2017. It's named after a friend of ours.
Okay. And,
this law dictates that every existing pizzeria or every pizzeria that will exist for the pretty much for the rest of time will be subjected to a yearly federal audit to make sure they are not secretly a child sex ring.
All right.
So yeah, that's my three laws.
Powerful.
Yeah.
I like your legacies.
Also free Jared Fogle, but that's, you know, not here or there.
I like that of the four things you would do as president, one of them is making sure pedophiles doesn't exist, and one of them is freeing pedophiles.
Well, it's only suspected that Jared Fogle was a pedophile. He actually went to jail because he leaked the truth about Trump and Russia.
Yeah, that makes sense. I think I read that somewhere.
Yeah.
On CNN. So. Well, I like these laws. I would definitely expect that the government would start running better and that we would have a better foreign policy if Wayne were calling shots.
We would have to explain to Wayne that every country in Asia is not just a big city in China.
Yeah, I think he probably doesn't understand that. I do think that we should send him to China and India first, because those guys have crazy populations, and I think that he would do well to get a lot of them to kill themselves, and I think that that could really help with pollution and with our growing
food crisis. Solution.
Yeah. So, yeah, I like that. I think Wayne would be pretty good.
That might be a worldwide thing, though, because I imagine he would just say, like, kill yourself at the end of each statement that he makes.
Mm-hmm.
So people everywhere would be like, well, all right.
We just dropped to, like, an extinction level population.
A crisis population event, yeah.
Yeah, it would turn into The Happening, that M. Night Shyamalan movie where everybody just kills themselves in the streets. I think that would be good. I like the idea of Wayne with some real power. You know, I think maybe someone should make him an admin in Podcast Town. I think that would be a fun experiment.
I'm thinking of a re-edit of The Happening where before each time a person kills themselves, you just hear Wayne's voice saying, go kill yourself.
I would like to recut like, that. I
preemptively. Will recut,
yeah, I will make that remix of that movie.
Appreciate it. Thank you, buddy.
No problem.
I do not have the power or the knowledge of how to edit any of that stuff. So,
me neither.
I like that you're taking the reins on this one.
I'll try to figure it out. I got some time on my hands.
I don't know, man. You look pretty busy lately, interviewing celebrities and doing video. Not.
What was the last thing?
Oh, doing video casts?
Oh, yeah, I've been doing those video casts. I'm very excited that that guy got Vin Diesel to be in my face, like the guy who edits them. That's all I've ever wanted.
That was awesome.
Well, thank you.
So now that you have a Corey Feldman interview under your belt, is Dustin Diamond next or Tiffany or something? Like, who's next on your roster?
Yeah, who's next on the people that you want to actually, like, interview? Because you've hit a lot of people that matter the most to you after this one.
That's true. I would like to interview some of those Saved by the Bell people. Actually, Dustin Diamond is going to be performing stand-up comedy in Dayton, Ohio in a couple of months.
Hmm.
Which,
oh, hell yeah.
I hope that all of my friends go to. But yeah, I could probably interview him. I don't know. That's really about it. I don't know who else I like. I think Bret Easton Ellis is like the only other guy I'd ever want to talk to in life after Corey Feldman. But he will never talk to me because I don't look like James Vanderbeek. So that's out of the question.
I don't think you have enough cocaine on hand to keep his attention.
Yeah, that too.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Just wait for the next time that he tweets out a blast for who's got some cocaine and be like, I do, if you want to talk to me for a bit.
Yeah, call me at my work number.
DM me. Check your DMs.
I've got drugs.
Yeah, check your drug messages. That's what DM stands for.
Mm-hmm.
speaking of drug messages, 420, that happened. 420, guys.
Did you guys do any units of marijuana?
Oh, man. So many units.
yeah, I don't know. 420 is like really stupid, but there were like a lot of reggae shows in town for some reason, and like a movie theater here showed Fast Time, so like that's kind of cool.
I got really bummed out on the morning of 420 because the very first thing I saw wasn't actually about weed. It was actually about Columbine, and I forgot that that happened as well. So,
oh yeah,
like, oh, that sucks.
Yeah. That's a pretty fucked up calendar date, now that I think of it.
It's also my cat's birthday.
Oh, that's
I think I'm going to say Hitler's birthday.
Yeah, Hitler too.
Your cat named Hitler.
No. He is named Loki, which like has like weird like white supremacist implications, but it's just purely a coincidence.
Wink.
Wonk.
Did this famous day hold any different significance for you, Parker, aside from the reggae bands, since you're now in a state where weed is more prevalent, or at least more acceptable? More acceptable. I meant that instead. Go with take two.
It's both. It's more prevalent and more acceptable. But no, I also, like Patrick, the only thing I did on 420 was Columbine-related. I just listened to the Trash Video podcast, and I listened to the episode where they talk about how much those people were heroes, the people who did the shootings, and like how great they were. That's what I do every 420. Just listen to Seth
Trash
Kuzer.
Video podcast.
I listen to the Trash Video podcast every 420.
That's okay. Really weird, because I'm pretty sure there was a scenario once where I wish that Seth Kuzer was in Columbine.
What do you wish? He got shot at Columbine?
I just wish he was going to Columbine at the time.
Yeah.
You know, I don't want him to get shot. I just, you know, scare him a little bit.
Yeah, like maybe like wound him a bit.
Yeah, like Dylan and Eric just rough him up a bit.
yeah, I could see that. I think that would be like good. Like that's like a good thought experiment to like, rather than like giving out birthday presents, I feel like for now on in the future, I'm just like going to tell my friends like which tragedy I wish that they were at, but like they didn't get hurt in.
That's generous. No, yeah. I thought there was something like something up with Seth. I was like, what are we picking on Seth like this for?
I don't know. See, he just really thinks that those Columbine guys are heroes. He thinks they're heroic. They did a whole episode about it. So that's what I do every 420 now.
Have you ever seen, there's this lady on YouTube that is like, she's obsessed with Dylan Kleboyd. And like, she just makes videos, these really eerie videos of like her in front of a camera, and like the light is way too bright, so you can only like make out her like lips and teeth and just like the outline of her face. And she just talks about like how bad she wants to like marry Dylan Kleboyd. I'll see if I can find it and post it in Podcast Town, but it's like genuinely unsettling.
Yeah, that is one of the weirder like psychological things that happens. Like I was just watching this Werner Herzog documentary about people who are in jail, and like it is weird that like if you're in jail for like some super terrible shit, like that ladies just kind of find you and fall in love with you for like no reason.
Yeah, it's the same thing with that kid from fucking Serial. Like you listen to that podcast and then you read about it and you're like, oh, this kid for sure killed his girlfriend, but then you have like droves of women who are just like, free this beautiful boy.
Yeah, Charles Manson gets, like, a lot of ladies in prison.
Jared Fogle, I mean.
Yeah, the list goes on and on. I'm sure Hillary Clinton will when she's in jail.
That's my fifth law, by the way. Hillary Clinton has to go to jail.
It's reasonable. I feel like that's the first thing that we should do on the road to making America great again.
And before anyone says, oh, that makes you sound like a Trumper, Trump has to be put into a rocket. So
So that means you are a Trump supporter. You'll put Hillary in jail and you'll give Trump like a really cool gift.
Yeah, like the rocket goes to a luxury resort on the moon. So,
or I thought you were going to say on the sun. That also work.
Speaking of the sun,
hold on. I got another joke on that. Wait 1 second. If you go to the moon, you could call it Moon Lago instead of. Sorry, that wasn't worth it. Oh. Parker, what were you going to say?
I was going to talk about this time that I wrote this blog. I've been reading all of my old MySpace blogs. Because I'm really stupid, and I just want to dwell on the fact that I was like the worst person. But I found this one that I want to talk about with you, and I want to get to the bottom of it because I don't think I ever did get to the bottom of this with you.
It's called "Was Columbine Really That Bad?"
Yes, it's called "I Wish My Friend Frisbee Was at Columbine, but Not Seriously Injured."
Allow me to get to the bottom of this one. What the fuck? And no, that didn't happen.
You're right. That was a joke. The Columbine thing was a joke, but it was written shortly after 9/11, and it's titled "I Wish My Friend Frisbee Was in Tower 2 during 9/11, but not seriously injured." Yeah, but he just got roughed up a bit. So I've got this blog, Frisbee.
Uh-huh.
It's not about you getting roughed up.
Okay.
But it is about... I started out... I won't read the whole thing. But it starts out... One of my friends... One of our friends is no longer with us. I'm shocked and saddened by this loss, and I'm sure you all are. I couldn't believe it when I first found out, but Jason Frisbee has deleted his MySpace account. Why did this happen, Mr. Frisbee? Why did you make me so sad? Why did you screw up my whole top eight? Why did you delete that MySpace?
This was written in 2016.
I just wrote this not too long ago.
What is the year on that one? Do you have the date available?
It's December 6th, 2006, 2 days before my birthday. So I spent my whole birthday sad over this.
Shit. Yeah, I don't know, man. I'm not sure why I left. I can't think of a good reason.
Well,
that is a bummer because those top eights were important.
Yeah, I probably got some jerk in my top eight after you left. I probably had to replace you with I don't know, someone I didn't even care for. Like probably like one of those ladies who was like super famous for being bare-chested on MySpace. I probably had to replace you with one of the Tia Tequila. It's probably my top eight now.
I was just about to say Tia Tequila.
Yeah, my top eight is now The Wife, Money Matt, and Jenny Mac, and then Tia Tequila.
Well, December is a weird time to have been doing that. I know I probably jumped off. If for any reason, it probably was for school. Like I got really into using MySpace for blogs and whatnot when I was traveling. Like I'd write about where I'd been to and what I'd seen, what I'd done. But that was like a couple months out. So I imagine I just got burned out on it and deleted it so I didn't have to think about it. Which was stupid because I posted a lot of stuff on there and neglected to save any of it. So I've got all these like memories that are now gone forever. As I'd wrote about them, post them, and I would get really detailed with it. Like you're able to kind of work it like a Blogspot or something, where you could add pictures and kind of mix it up. I did all that, and all those posts are gone like rain, tears in the rain, or whatever the dude says at the end of Blade Runner.
That's true. They all are gone. I actually mentioned that part in this blog post too. I say not only is Frisbee gone forever, but because of his rash and selfish decision to delete his account, his friends will not be able to remember the memories. 2 years of funny comments and inside jokes about hard gay and not being able to shop in certain malls because zombies won't get back or got. I don't even know what that joke is. Do you remember what inside joke that is? Talking about how we can't.
Sounds very 2006.
Yeah.
The
zombies.
Because zombies won't quote unquote get back. I don't remember that joke.
Back.
I don't know.
I don't know. I mean, whenever that Aquabats album came out, there was this fashion zombies thing.
Might have something to do with that. And also, I do. I didn't read this whole thing before we started recording, but I do make a comment in this about who I replaced you with in my top eight, and it was Borat.
Hey, all right. And
something I would do. Something I would still do. Like, if you deleted your Facebook account, I would just replace you with Borat.
Very nice. That's good. But you brought up the hard gay inside joke, and I did come back to MySpace, but it was my first attempt at a parody account. And I thought I was being very clever, and I made it a hard gay parody account. Everything was about, like, him saying foo and nice, or say. I even had that Ricky Martin song playing at the beginning. Like, when you'd open the page, it'd play Living La Vida Loca.
That's delightful.
It was good.
Oh, it was fun. I forgot that MySpace has had that feature where you could, like, upload, or you could, like, just tag songs in your profile. I think the last one I ever had was that song from Funny Games in the beginning.
Oh.
The Wicked City song.
Yeah, I had that on my MySpace for a long time. We're MySpace twins.
Man, that movie ruled.
Man, that was a good movie. Yeah. Oh, well, is your MySpace still there, Patrick?
It's not still active. I deleted it, I want to say, a couple years ago because I have to keep safe teenage Patrick as much as possible from being exposed to the real world.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see if I can log in. I'm actually, nope, just doesn't exist anymore. I remember my biggest beef with MySpace was when people got a little too HTML crazy, and like anytime you like got onto their page, it would just kill your browser.
Yeah, like the people who put like sparkles on there, and like your cursor would turn into like a dragon or something.
There was a kid I was friends with who I remember he had like all of like the first Super Mario game just playing in the background of his MySpace, and like it would just make my fucking computer crash every time I went onto it. When Rick Rolling was a thing, I knew somebody who set an HTML link right over like the home button on their page. So that way, anytime you tried to get out, it would just take you to that video. I always thought that was pretty cool. If such a thing existed for Facebook, we could do Chattahoochee or something.
That would be great.
I actually, one of the things I really like about Facebook is the fact that you can't do stupid shit like that anymore. Since it's all like kind of uniform and everybody's profile is pretty much the same. I don't really have any interesting MySpace or blog stories, mostly because like, except for like microblogging, where like, if you get into like a fight with your girlfriend, you just back and forth get like really like passive aggressive towards each other in public.
Mm-hmm.
You never explicitly say that you're mad, but you're just like your girlfriend makes like a MySpace like bulletin that's just like, I can't believe you didn't pick me up from school today. And you know it's about you, and everyone knows it's about you, but nobody says anything.
There was a lot of passive aggression on MySpace. I mean, there is on Facebook, but everything's so politically heated on Facebook anymore that you can kind of, you don't have to read between any lines. It's usually more direct. So it's not as passive, but yeah, MySpace was ripe with passive aggression.
Yeah. My whole writing career is based off of being passive aggressive on MySpace. So I'm into it.
Oh, yeah. And I was going to say, like, I thought that like people posting bad lyrics kind of died with MySpace, but that shit is also all over Facebook too, as it turns out.
Yeah, I see like, that kind of happening now more and more.
Like a MySpace bulletin would just be like a Taking Back Sunday song, and now like it's just popping, it's still popping up all over the place. I don't know. There's cool shit about MySpace though that I sort of miss, but not really. The top eight thing was always like that was always like a thing that like was a point of contention for people. actual fights and shit got started over it.
Yeah, I had a girlfriend who broke up with me one time because she was not in my top eight. But what am I going to do? Kick Frisbee out of my top eight? Yeah, right. Frisbee's got to stay in that top eight.
Appreciate that.
Hey, I'm here for you, Frisbee.
Thank you. Ah. Yeah, I was trying to look at when I joined Facebook, and I think that might have something to do with it. Like, I'm guessing there was some overlap.
Yeah, I think so. I think 2006 is when we signed up for Facebook. I signed up for Facebook and then, like, never touched it. Because, like, when we signed up, it was, like, just for, like, college kids. And so it was, like, just people who, like, worked at my college newspaper. And, like, I didn't, like, want to be their friend. So I stayed on MySpace until, like, the bitter end. Like, I think I was, like, the last person to jump ship. Like, I was still on MySpace, like, thinking it was cool in, like, 2011, 2012. Like, yo, this is my place.
Whenever the movie Funny People came out, that was still a time when MySpace was clawing at the bit, clawing just to stay alive, because they were featured in that movie. Like, Adam Sandler decides to do his character decides to do some bit for MySpace, a stand-up performance.
Yeah, I'm real shocked.
Oh, it was one of their music festivals. They still do those shits, too.
Really?
Yeah, we just had one in town not too long ago.
Yeah, they're all about this stupid music shit now. Like, I don't understand, like, what MySpace is doing now, because, like, they deleted everything that was, like, ever on there. Like, all the comments and, like, blogs and, like, photos and, like, all that shit and, like, messages, like, are all gone. But it's, like, I'd imagine you could, charge people $20 to get all that shit. And, like, you could keep your stupid website online and pay all your stupid employees, like, just from that. Like, just from people who are so desperate for their nostalgia that they will give you whatever you want. But it's all gone.
Yeah.
It's not even possible.
It's all, it looks like it's pretty much just, like, making playlist is all you do on MySpace now out of, like, musicians and shit.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, if there's anybody out there listening who, like, genuinely uses MySpace now, like, let me know. Because, like, I got on there, like, just to get nostalgic and, like, get my blogs and stuff recently. But, like, I don't even know, like, what it is anymore. It's, like, just playlists and, like, you can, like, get updates about, like, when Lady Gaga goes on tour or something. Like, I don't even understand, like, what kind of website it is now.
I'll tell you something, dude. That Tom Anderson guy really fucking cleaned up, though.
Man, that's true. Yeah, he sold it for, like, a zillion dollars to Fox News. And then they turned it into some music video website or something. Whatever it is.
It's just like you think you're clicking on a music video, but it's just Trump speeches.
Yeah. I also found I searched my blog for all references to Frisbee, and I found another one, a very old one where we were having an instant messenger conversation, Mr. Frisbee.
Yeah.
And you were telling me about some girl that you liked because she had unconditional love for David Bowie. And that's what you wanted in a relationship is not for someone to
Jesus
love you.
Christ.
Not for
that
someone.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
I think that's true.
Yeah. You wanted not for someone to love you unconditionally, but for someone to love David Bowie unconditionally.
Yeah. Yeah. Normally I'd be really weirded out by you reading a private message conversation that you and I shared, but that one I think is fairly public knowledge.
Yeah, I don't think that's a secret.
I'm pretty sure I'd put that like on any dating account today if I was into like doing that. But
I think
that's very funny. When was that from? Do you mind?
Like 2002 or 3 or something.
Hell yeah. I knew who that is.
Found up.
I really fucked up on that.
I found one of Parker's blogs where he's mad at you, Jason, and he just uploaded all the lyrics to Headstrong by Trapped. There's that one,
Whoa,
too.
This is wild. So everybody's got access to my private DMs and private messages?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
Well, I'll just...
What'd you say it was, Patrick? What was it?
It's the song Headstrong by Trapped. It's the go-to, like, angry meathead song that they still listen to all the time.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So those Bowie unconditionally, yeah, that sounds accurate. I think that still holds true today.
I was very proud of you for telling me that. There's also another one from 2005 where it says I hate everyone I've ever met except for Odorous from Guar and Frisbee. So That proves
I love that one. That one's very sweet.
I think that proves that we're best friends.
I think it's evidence. It's very good evidence.
Mm-hmm. Compelling 2005, evidence.
Man. Really?
Yeah.
Shit.
You remember that year.
Yeah. That's the year I left.
But, yep, you left
that
me.
Post is as old as a sixth grader.
One sec, guys. I'm getting some digital flutter.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
We've hit that 48-minute mark. Okay. Are we recording again?
We are recording.
Okay, cool.
So, yeah, that was...
Go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say that was the year you left Frisbee. Do you remember that going away party that we had for you? And, or do you remember that party?
Yeah, it was for me, Davide, and wasn't there somebody else? That's somebody else having a thing.
That's very funny that that's how you remember it, because I was going to frame it as we had a party for all of my good friends, you and Warday and Phil and some other dude.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I remember because you made this flyer for all of us, but then you, since you didn't know what Davide looked like, but you knew his name was Davide, which you assumed could be shortened down to Dave. And you also knew that this guy like DJ'd somewhat while he was in the States, that you used a graphic from the album, Devastating Dave, the Turntable Slave.
Oh yeah. Yeah. That's right.
As like the main, focus for this flyer, and then like Warday, Phil, and myself were kind of ancillary around it. It just stood out. Like I remember, I'm more of like a visual person anyway, so I remember Devastating Dave just proudly in there, or maybe he was like in the bottom right corner or something. But I recognized the graphic, so like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah, I think it was like you guys real big towering over Tokyo, and then Devastating Dave as well.
Yeah. But. Yeah, that party was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah.
I was in like the apartment, right? The apartment tower.
Yeah, yeah, the Dayton Towers. That was I won't rat this person out, but that was the party where one of our dear friends got really drunk and then started ranting about how much she hates the Jews.
But that's not funny in the way that it probably sounds like we were laughing at. It's funny. It's just that this person is so incredibly sweet. We're like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
That certain friend whose name rhymes with Era and also Erfy, but.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We knew her from way back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She came to
expect that.
She came to our party to discuss all of her favorite license plates with us. It was a good party.
Did it just turn into like a subtle decline where she started talking about how much she hates going to the bank and how much she hates Hollywood producers, and then it just kind of gradually got worse and worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it started because she was talking about how much she hates going to the post office, and there was no Banshee Jam promo code around in 2005 for her to use in stamps.com, so she had no...
Oh, that's right. On stamps.com, if you use the promo code PISS, you actually get an ebook about how to scam the post office for free.
All right. News you can use.
Yeah. Taking those hot deals. Yeah. Those hot piss deals.
All right. Well, speaking of hot piss deals, we got some Wayne Podcast Town news.
Oh, shit.
You guys remember Wayne, right?
How could I forget?
How could we forget?
Yeah. Well, all right. Here's his Podcast Town news. Podcast Town.
Secretary of State.
Secretary of State Wayne. Podcast Town is a place on MySpace where you can go talk to all your favorite podcast hosts and all your favorite podcast bros. You can talk to Weef. Weef is in there.
Could you imagine, like, if you could just make, like, a playlist of your favorite podcast episodes and it's just, like, 46 hours long on MySpace?
Man, that would be rad. I think I'm going to try to do that. I bet you can. I think I might start unironically using MySpace now just for podcasts.
Jesus Christ.
I'm going to make a podcast town in MySpace and see if anybody joins it. By the time this is out, there's going to be a Podcast Town MySpace page, so befriend it. Everybody get back on your old MySpace accounts. We're going to meet up on MySpace. If you want. I'll be there. Anyway.
All right.
Here's the Wayne Podcast Town news. Hopefully next time he covers this new MySpace branch of the Podcast Town.
We'll start Podcast Town news with this. it's on sticking. When you walk in and you're going to promote your podcast, expect to be called a shithead and be told to kill yourself. Another thing.
Can you guys hear this podcast town news?
Unfortunately.
Okay.
Yeah, I can.
All right, just making sure.
And take it in stride. Because if you read the sticky, you know what's going to happen. One guy came in last week. He decided to friggin' post his Patreon thing. And I kind of went on the warpath. I wasn't drinking. I was just a little angry. So I kind of gave him shit. His girlfriend or wife slash co-host, you know, probably messaged me, calling me disgusting and hateful and a piece of shit. And brought my kids into it, which I don't like. I don't like people do that. Oh, how do you think your kids would feel? You know what? I don't really care how my kids would feel. They're not online. They're not old enough to be online. They're not really paying attention to it. One thing. Podcast Town is like a big playground with stupid kids just banging into things. Me, I'm one of the dumber kids. I hit my head straight into poles. I don't care. Another podcaster did the same thing. John Cross, who is of the Aftermoon Movie Diner, right? It's Glenn Howard on his show. Listen to that one. It's really good. Glenn Howard's awesome. But he did the same thing. And I kind of, you know, went into my normal fucking battle cry. And he played with it. He went along with it. And he just kind of, you know, played along with me. Perfect. He read the sticky. He knows what's fucking going on. You know, a lot of podcasts don't. They just come in, they post a podcast, and they think they're going to get a fucking listener. But no one fucking wants to listen to your shit. We listen to, well, three podcasts. Because Kissing Contest hasn't done anything. JFD, Pool Party Radio, and I don't listen to all kinds. So I listen to two podcasts. When Kissing Contest does post something, I will listen to it. You know, there are all the podcasts that are affiliated with this, like, you know, like Trez Video, who, like, allegedly steal, you know, Jackson Stewart's movie and have a little bitch fest at the beginning of one of their episodes when Jackson puts it out there on them. But, you know, that those things happen. What else? I like the fact that everybody's kind of talking about killing themselves. We're talking about other people killing themselves. Suicide memes. You know, people on Craigslist wanting to kill themselves. It's like the year of the kill yourself. I love it. Because you know what you should do? You take the gun, put a bullet in, put it in your mouth, and blow your brains out. You know why? It makes more room for me to move around and more room for my family to move around. I know your parents may not be very happy about it, but you know, think about the rest of us. Don't think about your family. Think about the rest of us. You know, and the thing is, if you can't take sarcasm and you don't understand that I'm fucking around, maybe you should kill yourself.
Could you imagine Wayne just like leading the cultural revolution and it's just talking people into suicide?
I think that would be great.
Could be like a different version of the movie Network. That was informative.
That was a good
The sticky. I never heard it referred to as the sticky, but it's also like topical because of 420, you know,
that thread he mentioned where that lady called him or like messaged him very angrily did rule pretty hard, though. That was really funny of him.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah,
I get very judgmental when it comes to Wayne, but I think in my heart of hearts, I support what he does. So.
I know we do for sure.
Mm-hmm.
We appreciate his newscasting.
Yeah.
And this is the first time I've heard him mention the word love. I'm not just saying like he's never mentioned that he liked anything before. And I don't think he ever has, but he really, really drove a point home by using the term love this time around. He's loving this year in that people are getting into killing themselves.
If there's one thing that could bring love to the heart of Wayne, it would be someone killing themselves.
Yes. But going back to the sticky part, he's talking about the pinned comment at the top, right? Like people reading the group guidelines and all that?
I believe so.
Okay. Yeah, that's pretty handy.
Yeah.
I don't subscribe to a lot of groups, so I'm not all that familiar, but the few groups that I'm in typically do that. I'm not the kind of guy who would read like an entire instruction manual for something, but for some reason, like group boards, I figure I have to know what the hell they're talking about.
You got to know the rules when you go into a new group because, you know, they might tell you to kill yourself and you need the context. And so that's why you read the sticky at the top, is to get the context on whether or not you should be killing yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. What did you guys like? I was like fully supportive of Wayne when he made fun of that dude bringing in his Patreon to a group that like doesn't listen to his podcast, because if anybody's
what the fuck is up with that? like who just posts a fucking Patreon and like we have no context of what your show is about. Like, no one's ever brought your show up. No one comments on your posts. Like, what makes you think we're going to give you money? We don't even give money to the podcast we do like.
it's coming from a place where the advice the person's adhering to is you never know unless you try. You only miss 100% of the shots you don't take, which can also mean like just blindly requesting money from people for a podcast they've never listened to. And it's a great kind of, you know, you got to take that shot. You got to try mentality, but also, you know, sometimes just don't try, like, don't try it. It's not going to turn out well. Mm. I think it's also, you have to know your demographic and where you're going with it. Not just like broadcast it anywhere.
Yeah. Also, him coming into Podcast Town, talking about, give money to my Patreon, that takes money out of my kids', i.e. Wayne's kids', mouths. And I don't care for that. Because, yeah, you got to give to the Junk Food Dinner Patreon, because that's how I pay Wayne for doing his pool party news. From the Junk Food Dinner money.
I was going to add, whoa, you're embezzling. I hope you know that.
Don't tell Kevin or Sean.
I promise, I swear I won't. As long as they don't listen to this. But yeah, do you feel different now that you have your own Patreon? Are you concerned about like other people being competitors?
No, because Junk Food Dinner has no competitors. Junk Food Dinner is a number one, top of the heap.
They are the best.
I've heard that they're the best podcast and have the best bonus episodes that you've ever heard in your whole life.
The best boners. Yeah. It's like, this is a weird turn.
Man, you wouldn't even believe the dicks on some of these Junk Food Dinner guys.
I won't. But, yeah, you're delivering on bonus episodes and all this stuff. You're doing, it's legit, man. This isn't like a hobbyist thing anymore.
Yeah, we got to involve the government now. Government needs about 60% all of a sudden of that Junk Food Dinner money.
60%?
Yeah.
You know, to bring up the Junk Food Dinner Patreon, you guys have a very modest goal. Like most podcasts, it's like, oh, we are at $42 of our $100,000 goal.
Well, we thought that the $600, like, that's like our main goal, and then we'll start doing an extra episode per week. We thought that was like an outlandish number, and now we're like, I'm bad at math, but we're like almost two-thirds there, and now I'm scared that we're gonna have to start doing this thing. So
I kind of dig the, I mean, like, I support the idea of like getting money for like something, like, even if it's just like a hobby, you know. Like, that's totally fine if people want to, like, throw some cash your way for something that you put work into. Which is to say, if you donate to the Banshee Jam Patreon once we hit 10K, I will crash a car every single month if we hit that 10K goal.
That's impressive.
Yeah. Then none of that money will go to my pocket. I will spend $10,000 every month on a car, and I will crash it on Facebook Live. That is a promise.
Now, isn't it a very specific make, model, and year of car that you're talking about?
It's a 1999 Honda Civic, because okay. That is the one and only car I've ever crashed, and I'm just going to relive it over and over again as my personal
Jesus.
Hell.
That is insane, but I'm into it, so expect some money from me.
Yeah, I will definitely donate to that, because I want to see a Honda Civic crash every month. Because I think that people should buy American, and I think it's your duty to get these trashy foreign cars off the streets. I think you're doing the Lord's work here, making America.
The goal is actually not to make money from the podcast, but just to eradicate that specific car from the face of the earth.
Eradicator.
I think that's a great goal.
I just admire that. I mean, you brought up Werner Herzog earlier, Parker. These sound like Werner Herzog-esque rewards for a Patreon. Like, Werner Herzog would eat a shoe, you know, if he was proven wrong about something. This is kind of the same thing. Like, I can imagine Werner Herzog saying, like, if you donate to my Patreon, I will crash a car and relive a nightmare of my life once a month.
Yeah, I said
that's really good.
I said on Twitter that if we start making $1,000 a month, that I will let Sean Byron slap me in the face for the entire runtime of Mulholland Drive while I watch it. So I think people will probably cough up a couple of dollars for that.
Yeah, stunt Patreoning. That's the new normal. That's where we're at.
Yeah. I'm also hoping to get a nice other stretch goal where we get enough money for Sean Byron to get a junk food dinner tattoo, since he refused to do it when I saw him in LA last month. He refused right to my face. He said, "I don't like junk food dinner enough to get a junk food dinner tattoo, Parker." That's his exact
That's
words
fucked
to me.
Up.
Whoa. Now you've got a pool party zine or a logo tattoo.
I do have a pool
party.
Do you have
a junk food dinner tattoo?
Not yet, but I will get one day as soon as everybody commits to it. Oh, by the way, Frisbee, when are you getting your pool party tattoo?
I was thinking about doing that before episode 300.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Ah, that's
for sure.
All right.
Thinking about that this past week.
Also, if you guys get us to the 5K goal on the Zatoichi Blind Podsman Patreon, we will go on to that blind person show and actually pretend to be blind as many times as you want. So.
Mm-hmm. Also, if you get to the Zatoichi show gets to the $50 a month mark, I will get a Zatoichi tattoo all across my chest and a little bit on my neck as well.
You'll get a full body Yakuza style Irizumi tattoo.
Yeah, I'll get
Irizumi,
that.
Yeah,
but it'll be like a huge like Yakuza style like tattoo of like a swordsman. But then the face will be you and Patrick's faces.
Oh, cool.
Like a two-headed swordsman.
I'll get it something similar, but I'll get it as the cover for the Criterion Collection's The Doomed Man, where it's that really cartoony-looking thing where he's massaging the the comedic foil from that movie, and it looks all fun.
Mm-hmm.
For 10K, we will do a photo shoot in Japan, but Jason has to wear a rice paddy hat the entire time.
And Patrick has to be blind.
I'm opening my wallet right now. I want that one to happen. Speaking of opening our wallets, Mr. Frisbee,
yes.
Would you open our email account and read us the emails?
I sure can. Is this killing you right now since Kid Rock has become quasi-relevant again from this past week of appearing in the White House, that you cannot play the put your fingers in the air and see where you're at drop?
Yeah, that makes me really, well, it makes me unreasonably enraged that I can't play any drops, but that one most of all right now. I would love to have played that as your intro this week.
I was thinking about that this morning. I'm like, God damn it. This is probably eating him up inside.
Yeah. Maybe,
well,
maybe we'll cut it in post-production.
Right on. We got an email from James and it reads, possible guest spot for a final episode, question mark. He says, hey, swole sexy bros. James the Podcast Town Exile here, and I have things to offer you for discussion, like how I literally almost killed myself because of what happened in Podcast Town with Sean Byron and Corey. How buying a Nintendo Switch led to an addiction to Binding of Isaac. Plus, I can be super racist and insult everyone in Podcast Town and forever burn that bridge. So, yeah, that's what you wrote.
Well, I think if you got super racist and started insulting everybody in Podcast Town, I think that would like not. I think that would mend the bridge. I think that would rebuild the bridge. They would like that.
Could you imagine wanting to kill yourself because Corey made fun of you?
Like, I don't know. I kind of could. Like,
what kind of fucking life does this dude lead?
I could imagine that. Like, Shelby Cobras was making fun of me on the Neurological Contraption. Like, I don't know. I feel like maybe I should kill myself now. And he's just Shelby. He's not even Corey, for God's sake.
he's not a Corey either.
Yeah, but Shelby's still like one of the most essential like Ilcon guys, though.
That's true.
Was Sean being? I forget what Sean did.
Sean was involved.
Okay.
I think Sean just pointed it out. Like, that was it. I don't think he said anything else beyond that.
I don't know. It was a long time ago. I kind of don't remember.
Yeah, I'm kind of losing the plot on this one too.
Yeah,
well, that's a bummer. I don't.
Well, there's a place for James at myspace.com/podcasttown.
Oh, hell yeah.
Unless that URL is taken, then I will have to update this.
It's just you and James, and like most of the posts are from him, and they're about like how feminism is poison or something.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not there for that, but I'll be there anyway. I'll probably post a little bit more than I do in Podcast Town.
It'll be me and you. It'll be James. It'll be the band, it'll be like the Deftones. They'll be there.
Right on.
And
Jeffree Star,
like all the bands from Side One Dummy Records. They'll all be there.
Oh, I'll make a bunch of parody accounts, like that hard gay one that I had.
If it gets popular enough, I heard that you could become the president of Sub Pop Records.
That's true. That is true. I'm excited for this new place for all the exiles from Podcast Town. If you've been kicked out of Podcast Town Facebook, then Podcast Town MySpace, or maybe even Podcast Town Makeout Club, Podcast Town Friendster. There's a lot of different chapters to Podcast Town now.
Podcast Town Club Penguin.
Mm-hmm. There's a lot of them. Podcast Town Yahoo Messenger.
ICQ.
Yeah. So, you know, there's places for you out there. There's some like-minded individuals.
Speaking of ICQ, I once had like a very late night conversation with the guy who played Shay St. John. Do you remember those videos?
It was like
a puppet sort of. The story was that she was like a model who got into like a really bad accident and like was like a
Yeah, but, I remember those.
But I talked to him while he was in character. Like, it was just a marionette that this dude just carried around with him in a wheelchair. And, like, it spooked me out because I was young enough that I still wasn't sure that it was, like, fake. But, like, I would give anything to be able to pull up that chat log again.
Oh, yeah. I think I remember this.
I remember somebody brought this up in Podcast Town, and I had totally forgotten about it. Because I blocked it from my memory since it was so disturbing, and it just happened again. Like, I didn't know what you're talking about because I blocked it out of my memory again because it was so spoopy and creepy. But now, it's coming back. All right, well, looks like I'm getting drunk tonight. Drunk to forget.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, sir.
I'm also very scared. We see you, James. Thanks for the email. I got to consult our producer and see what the last episodes are looking like. We'll pencil you in. We got you on the list. Don't kill yourself. Unless Wayne becomes the Secretary of State, then we all will. But I think that's the end of the program.
Oh boy.
We've hit that hour mark. It's time to go.
Yeah.
The producer is shaking his wrist at me.
So, Patrick, I know where to find you, but just in case everybody else doesn't, even though I already plugged it before, and any other projects you're doing, could you please tell the folks at home where they might find you?
Sure. I am on Twitter at Patty Alarm, or you could just search my username, which is Rogue Garbage Man. I am also in Podcast Town. I also have a podcast aside from The Blind Podsman, which... is being rebooted, not The Blind Podsman, of course, but Banshee Jam at facebook.com/Banshee Jam. The first episode should be out this week coming. That's about it.
And should also mention that we're looking forward to a special guest on the next episode of The Blind Podsman. I don't know if should we divulge who it is.
Yeah, let's go for it.
It's Wayne. Wayne's decided to come along and join us. He does his own movie podcast. Movie Maniacs? Or no, it's Podcast Maniacs.
It's Podcast Mania and Motion Mania. Picture Massacre.
Thank you. Motion Picture Massacre. It's actually a fun capsule podcast runs under 30 minutes, so obviously it's up my alley.
Yeah, it's I listened to it the other day driving home, and it actually almost the typical length actually almost matches perfectly the length it takes to get from my work to my house. So that's like the perfect little driving podcast.
Yeah, which is rare. Like, I do like longer podcasts too, but unfortunately I end up having to break them up into segments. So this was a nice change of pace. And since he talked about movies, I just love my movies, he'll be joining us for an installment for next week's installment of Zatoichi's Blind Podsman. So look out for that. And you can look out for us. If you want to send us an email, is poolpartyradio@gmail.com. You can find us on Facebook, facebook.com/poolpartyradio. Podcast Town, that's where we tend to mingle. You can also find us on Twitter, @FinalParker, @CumulusFrisbee. And all our episodes are up at poolpartyradio.com. And any other podcast app of your choosing, be sure to rate and review.
Mm-hmm. Also check us out at myspace.com/PPM. That's the official Pool Party MySpace.
Yeah, there might be some old links to like the original Pool Party magazine there.
I think it's possible. There's some stuff up there. That's for sure.
Yeah. And find us on MySpace.com.
Yeah, find us on MySpace. Hit us up. Be our friend. We'll put you in the top 8. That's for sure. So until next week, this is Parker for Patrick and Cumulus saying thanks for having fun. But not seriously injured.
Yeah, but he just got wrapped up a bit. Nothing serious.
My favorite part is like this statement clarification. Like, that just wrapped up a bit.
Now do classical gas!